Hi, this is Dean Koontz. Welcome to my podcast. My current book, The Darkest Evening of the Year, is full of dogs. In point of fact, it's full of golden retrievers. I love all dogs, but I particularly love goldens. And of course, most of you know, I had a golden until recently named Trixie, who was a love of my life, in addition to my wife, Gerda. And in having Trixie over the years, I learned all sorts of things about dogs that were told are true by supposed experts on canine affairs, but you discover that, like in many fields, the experts don't seem to actually know everything. And there was a lot of things I learned about the wisdom of dogs through Trixie, and a few of them come to mind today. One thing we're told about dogs is they have absolutely no sense of time, that it's all right, therefore, to leave them home alone for a long period of time, because to a dog, 7 hours is like 7 minutes. They don't really have any way to tell the difference, and they don't have any sense of the passage of time. Well, having Trixie, and most of you who have dogs, probably have learned the same lessons. Dogs have an incredible sense of time. In fact, they have a clock ticking in their heads. There's no question about this to me. Trixie's second meal of the day, she had two because she was a service dog, and they were trained to potty on command, and that means feeding them in a certain rhythm. So she would have one meal in the morning, one in the afternoon at 3:30, and then she would have different snacks during the day. But that 3:30 feeding would come, and if she was in your office or she was over in Linda, my assistant office, or in Gerda's office, no matter where she was, at about 3:28, she would get up, she would walk over to you, and she would stand staring at you. And at 3:30, she would go, woof, very soft, very genteel, but she would let you know 3:30 had come, and 3:30 meant kibble. And she also knew, to my astonishment, that the time changed with daylight savings time. Everyone who worked here, everyone who saw Trixie, everyone who knew her well on a daily basis saw this happen every year. Every time daylight savings came up, Trixie adjusted her feeding time. She didn't demand it until the new scheduled time, or she demanded it early or late, depending on whether it was spring forward or fall back. That said to me, the clock in her head was uncanny, because she doesn't have a watch. She doesn't understand daylight saving time, but somehow she knew the time nevertheless. She also knew that 5 o'clock was quitting time for me, or should be. Now, most of you know the kind of awful hours I work, though I love my work and they don't seem painful to me. But I get up early, and if I'm really on a roll, I will not quit at 5 o'clock. But Trixie thought, once she came to us very early, 5 o'clock should be our quitting time. And at 5 o'clock, she would come to the other side of my desk and sit looking across it at me. And I would always know she'd come over there, because there was some sort of feeling of a presence on the other side of the desk. And even if I was turned away from it, working at the computer, which is on the back side of my desk, she would sit there, and I would turn and look, and sure enough, there she was, and all I could see was her head above the desk looking at me in a very stern manner, telling me, all right, Dad, it's 5 o'clock, and people who start at 7 in the morning should not be writing past 5 o'clock. Well, if I'm on a roll in a scene, I don't just quit at 5 o'clock sharp. So I would go on writing sometimes, and 5:30 would creep by. And at this point, Trixie would always come around the desk and sit looking at me and start sighing impatiently. And if you've heard a dog sigh, you know they can convey a lot of meaning in a sigh. So she would sigh a few times at 5:30. And then, if I hadn't stopped in about 10 more minutes, she would come right up to the chair and shove her head under the arm and put her chin on my thigh and roll her eyes up to look at me, knowing that that's irresistible, and she would have me up and out of the office by 6:15. So dogs definitely have a sense of time, and an uncanny one. I'm also told that dogs cannot see two-dimensional images. A lot of experts on dogs will tell you that dogs cannot really see what's on television. They're reacting to sound or just to maybe a sense of moving forms of color, but they can't actually see a flat. Their eyes don't allow them to see two-dimensional images. Well, I had several things happen that proved that wasn't true. We were sitting one day watching TV. We hadn't had Trixie more than a month. We don't watch much television, but in those days, in that house, we had a large screen set that was pretty close to the floor, and I could actually you're supposed to sit on the sofa and watch it, but I could sit on the floor and be directly in line with it. And then I could also scratch Trixie's ears and rub her under the chin and rub her belly and do everything that is required of you if you're a dog owner. And we were lying there one night watching some TV, and suddenly a character rolled onto screen in a wheelchair. Now, Trixie had been an assistance dog who had served a disabled person and had been trained to work with a person in a wheelchair. And in this TV show, somebody rolled on screen in a wheelchair, and there was no sound of a wheelchair, but Trixie happened to be looking toward the screen while I was rubbing her ears, and she suddenly leapt up and ran to the screen and put her nose right up to the wheelchair and watched this character until the character was no longer in the scene. And we saw her do this a couple of other times over the years, and that told me she saw that image on the screen. And it also told me much else about dogs and their memory and what matters to them. And once we were sitting, we have a movie theater here with a very large screen. I think it's 13 by 9 feet. And so we go down there to watch DVDs, and Trixie, first time we ever went down there to watch a movie, Trixie went with us. And on the screen was a first movie that we watched was a Sandra Bullock comedy. We were in a mood for something light. The news was very bad that day, and we didn't want to see anything serious. So before we could sit down, or before I could sit down, Gerda had sat down, and Trixie, who generally would not get up on furniture at all, popped right up onto one of the theater chairs and sat down next to Gerda, facing the screen. And Gerda and I looked at each other and wondered about this. And I thought, okay, instead of sitting next to Gerda, I'll sit next to Trixie and run the controls from there, and started the movie up. And Trixie sat up in her seat for the entire movie, which would be 90-some minutes, and watched that film. She did lie down twice for 3 or 4 minutes each time just to prop her chin on an arm of the chair, but she kept her eyes on the screen, and she watched the entire thing. And Gerda and I kept looking at each other over it, sort of saying with our eyebrows, what's this about? And at the end of the movie, Trixie got down out of her chair and let us out of the theater, and it was sort of mystifying. I'd never seen her that attentive to any one thing for that long, other than a belly rub. And the second time we went into a theater to watch the movie, it was another light comedy, I can't remember which one, and we proceeded to see the same behavior. Trixie jumped up in the chair, faced the screen, watched me operate the controls, sort of like, okay, Dad, let's have a movie. And we put on another comedy, and she watched the entire film, and I think this time Madeline settled down only once with her chin on the arm, not as often as she had before, and when it was over, she got down and went out of the theater, and we thought, well, this is very strange. I didn't know dogs could be caught up in Hollywood narratives, because I don't even, well, maybe that is easier for a dog than people with a higher level of intelligence, but anyway, the third time we came in to watch a movie in that theater, just shortly after we'd moved in, we put on a film that critics had been, I don't know why, raving about, saying it was going to be the next James Bond franchise, and it was hip and cool and kinetic and fabulous in 16 different ways. And so we were doubtful. We decided to put it on a watch, and the movie was Triple X, starring Vin Diesel. Well, we put that on, and it was loud and confusing and obnoxious in most ways. And Trixie sat watching the screen for 3 minutes, whereupon she got off the theater chair, down onto the floor, turned around, stuck her head under the theater chair, and never came out until we finally turned the movie off about half an hour later. So Trixie was not just one who could see a movie on the screen and who could follow a narrative, apparently, but who was a movie critic, and apparently a fairly good one, because the comedies were good and Triple X was not. Another thing that experts say about dogs, that they do not remember their litter mates, that the litter mates that were born with them are just other dogs to them, and I've read this many, many times. But when Canine Companions for Independence, who had trained Trixie, added on a residential center at their Oceanside campus and had a grand opening to it, we went down there with Trixie for the grand opening. And there was so much traffic and so many people there that we parked at some distance from the facility and up a long hill. When I got out of the car, Trixie took off like a shot, and I could not hold her back. She was a wheelchair service dog, and she was demure and responsive to commands, but she was so excited that I just had to proceed at a very fast walk to keep her from pulling me over. And we went all the way down the hill. Gerda and me and Trixie crossed the street into the CCI center, and there were a lot of people there, and probably, I don't know, 80 dogs, because there were dogs in training. People had brought their own dogs. There were service dogs in service. There were new puppies. There were all kind of dogs there. And Trixie pulled us relentlessly down the main hall, into a side hall, along that side hall, through a training room to this woman who was standing with another golden retriever, and most of the dogs in that place have been golden retrievers. Pulled us right up to that dog with her tail thrashing and so excited, and the two dogs went into play bows and got very excited with each other. And the woman who had this other dog recognized us. I didn't know her. And she said, "Do you know who this dog is that I've got here?" And I said, "No, but obviously Trixie's drawn to it." Said, "It's one of Trixie's litter mates." And Trixie, quite clearly, from a distance of 3 blocks, had smelled the presence of that litter mate, had identified that litter mate, and had gone all the way through all these other dogs with no distraction, and had gone directly to that one. So that's an interesting bit of expertise that is wrong, and the wisdom of dogs is deeper and stranger than we know. We're also told that dogs do not have emotions, and we just anthropomorphize their emotions. They have certain emotions, we're told, but they're not like ours, and we're mistaken to think that when we think they're in a particular kind of mood that they really are, because they're dogs, they think differently. Well, dog owners know that's largely a crock, and dogs have many emotions that are very similar to ours and come out in the similar situations. And when Trixie had her elbow surgery and had to be closely confined for 6 weeks, we saw the change in her emotions over that period of time. We didn't put her in a crate because we just couldn't bear to do that. She'd never been in one all her life. And so we kept our work desks, our U-shaped desks, and we kept her behind them using a child's gate put in front of each desk so that she didn't have very far to run, but she could move around a little. And then she was carried in and out to all of her toileting for the first couple of weeks and then led very carefully after that. And for about 4 weeks, Trixie's emotions were just the same as they'd always been. She was a very happy dog. She was quick to, if she couldn't play, it was all right if you just gave her rubs and scratched her ears and cuddled her. And she was just as happy as ever, and she got her food. But something happened in the 5th and 6th weeks of her recuperation, and she went into what was very clearly a depression. And I would understand it if for 4 weeks I had been sort of penned up and I wasn't allowed to do anything I normally was allowed to do. I could identify with her depression and knew that that's what it must be, and I was definitely not anthropomorphizing. She started eating lazily, and Trixie was not a lazy eater. She finished her meals quickly. And she was not responding to belly rubs. She just would lay listlessly and stare at things. And so in a sort of desperation, when we took her back, still about a week before they said she could be taken out or anything, and I took her back to the surgeon for her regular checkup, and he said, "Boy, she's recovering really, really well. She's way ahead of the curve and everything." And I told her about her being depressed, and he said, "I don't know that dogs really get depressed." I said, "Well, I absolutely know she's depressed, and so does my wife, and it's awful to watch, and I want to do something for her to bring her out of this. Can we take her out to dinner? I know you said we couldn't take her out for what amounts to another 5 or 6 days, but if she's really recovering well, why can't we do that?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm going to let you do that, but you have to be very careful with her." Now, when I say taking her out to dinner, we frequently ate out, almost always when we eat out, we would choose a restaurant where they allowed dogs on the well-behaved dogs on the patio, and we would take Trixie with us. And because she was so well-trained, she would go right under the table and sit looking out, and nobody would even know she was there. But she loved going to restaurants for two reasons. She loved to see all the people and the activity, and we spoiled her a little when we took her to this one restaurant, which was a Swedish restaurant. She got a appetizer order of Swedish meatballs, and she always therefore looked forward to going. So that night, that afternoon, we left the vet's place, and he said, yes, we could take her and out that night. So we came home, changed clothes, because it was already late in the afternoon, it was 5 or 5:30, and got ready to go out to dinner, and I lifted her into the car, and she was listless, laying in the back of the SUV, and we headed out. And now here's another thing about the wisdom of dogs. She was not sitting up watching. She was lying flat on our side. She couldn't see anything. And yet we follow a certain route many times during the week, but we only deviate from it, you know, on one particular street when we're going to this particular Swedish restaurant. So when we were on the streets we take to many other functions, Trixie lay listlessly. But when we made a turn onto the street that leads to the restaurant, she suddenly got up and stood looking out the windows, and her tail began to bash the back of the seat. Now, somehow that dog knew by the number of turns and the way those turns were made that we were heading toward that restaurant. By the time we got to the restaurant, she would almost not let me lift her out. She wanted to jump, which would have been disastrous. But I lifted her out, and she took off down through the open center of this shopping center, which was an outdoor area, directly to this restaurant patio with her tail wagging, and she got her meatballs, and it was the end of her depression. Overnight, she was her old self, and that 2 weeks of behavior we've seen was gone. So was it depression? I have no doubt, and a plate of Swedish meatballs resolves my depressions as well. Thank you for listening. My latest book is The Darkest Evening of the Year. And if you'd like to know more about that or more about my other books or more about other things happening with them, come to our website at deankunz.com.